so it becomes actually a huge percentage of what we are able to do when people walk through our door and say, hey, I need help with this.
Checks to area nonprofits are in the mail and are twice as big as last year's Pick, Click, Give donations. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. Donations to local charities more than doubled this year in the Permanent Fund Dividends Pick, Click, Give program. The PFD Charitable Contributions Program allows Alaskans to make donations from their own dividend for the second year in a row. Nine local groups are getting checks in the mail right about now, some for a few hundred dollars, but for some, it's a few thousand dollars.
It was a really humbling number. I didn't expect it to be as high.
Sarah Jamont is the executive director of the Haynes Animal Rescue Kennel, which received $3,450 this year, higher than any other local group listed.
I mean, I hoped through, you know, being on the list last year that we would increase our donors and we would increase our amount, but not by as much as we did.
When Alaskans apply for their PFD early in the year, they have a chance to select a charity of their choice from a listing, along with a donation of their choice. Altogether this year, $13,400 went to nine nonprofits that serve the Northern Panhandle. That's more than double last year's local contributions, which totaled just a little more than $6,000 for local groups on the list. For nonprofits like the local animal shelter, HARC, the uptick helps fund even more projects going on around the community than the extra boost did last year.
Well, it'll go into our general fund, and it'll be used for whatever we need it to go for. We just wrote a grant to hopefully supply the library with educational tools. So I will probably ask the board that we earmark part of this money, 500 out of our PFD contributions, to go towards supplying the matching funds needed to get this grant. Okay.
HARC is a no-kill animal shelter in Haynes. It cares for abandoned and homeless animals and provides financial assistance to locals for spaying and neutering pets. In addition to receiving more donations than any local charity through the PFD program, they also saw donations from more individuals than any other local group this year. 52 people. Pretty good for a nonprofit with a membership roster of...
About 52.
And a nonprofit that operates on an $80,000-plus annual budget that's made up of mostly donations.
To quantify what we do with money that we receive through our donations or our gaming fund, this is money that we then put back into mostly into doing animal care. So just for this year of 2010, we've spent over $11,000 helping other people spay and neuter their pets. This money will go into that. So it becomes actually a huge percentage of what we are able to do when people walk through our door and say, hey, I need help with this.
The Chilkat Valley Community Foundation also topped the money list with $2,600 in donations from 19 people, followed by Friends of Recycling with $1,825 from 49 people. Charities have applauded the guidance that the program offers them too. Besides listing the organizations, Pick, Click, Give also provides training and promotional ideas.
I mean, they have everything that you need on their website. You can grab logos, you can grab words, paste it onto your website, paste it onto flyers or newsletters.
Jamont adds that her participation in the trainings probably had something to do with the burst of philanthropy to the shelter.
So I took this online seminar and they said right now is the time to reach out to your past donors and previous donors and cultivate a want to donate to your organization. And I did what I learned to do, like post it everywhere, thank it on the radio, thank it on the websites, put it in our newsletters, thank the donors personally. We hand wrote cards to our 15-ish donors that we had last year.
Statewide, donations more than doubled this year, too. Altogether, 9,500 Alaskans donated about $925,000 to a long list of charities. Topping the money list for all of Alaska was Alaska Public Telecommunications, parent company of the Alaska Public Radio Network. Also on the top of that list was Food Bank of Alaska and the Anchorage Homeless Shelter. Governor Sean Parnell signed a bill earlier this year that made the Pick, Click, Give program a permanent option for Alaskans receiving an annual dividend. Skagway and Klukwan don't have any organizations listed, although some of the charities based in Haynes serve those communities. Still, an encouraging turnout from the community that one of the bill's sponsors calls home. Representative Bill Thomas, along with Senator Kevin Meyer, helped create the legislation in 2008 that made the Pick-Click Give program a permanent boost for the state's various charities.
I think this is a huge opportunity for the nonprofits. And, you know, for those who haven't seen the list, and those of us who have, if you look at where the big money was going to, it was going to women's shelters, homeless shelters, and animal shelters.
Other donations went to Hospice of Haines, which received $1,700, followed by Friends of the Haynesboro Public Library with almost $1,600. That's more than the combined donations for the support organizations for Petersburg, Homer, and Kenai Community Libraries. Tuckshinnock Watershed Council, Lynn Canal Broadcasting, Chilkat Valley Preschool, and the Sheldon Museum also received several hundred dollars each through Pick-Click Give, and most of those organizations got more this year than they did last year. Jaymott says she's optimistic the trend continues into the next year.
I'm hoping that this year they'll have, since this is the second year of nonprofits receiving donations, that they will have another workshop on how to continue to cultivate donors so that I can take what I learned last year and hopefully grow that number. I mean, we grew by almost fourfold. That would be amazing if we could grow by another fourfold next year in 2011.
Role in the effort to reduce the threat of harmful Florida forgeries in one of the most heavily bombed countries in the world. Mark Gorman was Vice President of Community Health for Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SERCH, until his retirement last September. He's now the country director for a non-governmental agency in Laos, working to assist victims injured by the literally millions of unexploded bombs remaining in that country from the Vietnam era. Robert Woolsey in Sitka reports.
Mark Gorman's retirement was cut short by the earthquake in Sumatra that struck on his last day of work at SERCH. A week after turning in his keys, Gorman was in Padang working for a Los Angeles-based NGO called Relief International. Now, Gorman's retirement has taken him to another part of the world. He's been living in Vientiane, Laos since May, working on a two-year contract for World Education. This Boston-based NGO has been in Laos since 1992, providing victims' assistance and mine risk education. Speaking from his office in Vientiane via Skype, Gorman says the scale of the bombing that took place in Laos is almost unimaginable.
During a nine-year period, there were bombing runs over Laos every 9 minutes. And if we bring that home to Sitka, That would be about 132 flights a day landing at our airport around the clock for 9 years.
That nine-year period was during the Vietnam conflict when the U.S. engaged in a widespread and mostly secret bombing campaign in Laos and Cambodia in an attempt to prevent the movement of Viet Cong along the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Much of the ordnance used in the bombing are known as cluster munitions, a large bomb that carries between 300 and 500 bomblets, each about the size of a tennis ball. The Lao government estimates that there are 80 million unexploded bombs in the fields and forests of the country. There are roughly 300 accidents a year involving unexploded ordnance, called UXOs. Gorman says he was in a northern province recently to visit two boys, an 8-year-old and a 14-year-old, who had been wounded by cluster munitions while farming. Gorman himself has two boys. He says the visit caused him to reflect on the origins of the bombs and the impersonal nature of war.
Probably was manufactured in a munitions plant, probably in the Midwest in the United States, 45 years ago by some person earning an honest living, caring for his or her family, not recognizing the consequence of that work and not really being accountable for that, but where is that person today who created that cluster munition, and where is that person's grandkids? It kind of was an aha for me, because I think we all have a global responsibility, and I'm not putting that responsibility on the munitions worker in the United States, but we in this global community are often so detached from our actions and the consequences that they bring to others around the globe. It was it was a moment, a thought that kind of took my breath away.
World Education's efforts to assist victims and educate a generation of children who may not even have heard of the Vietnam conflict is funded by multiple sources. Nevertheless, the U.S. is not a signatory to the Convention on Cluster Munitions drafted in Oslo last year. 111 nations signed the pact, which went into effect in August of this year. Laos was the first to sign. Gorman believes that the U.S. and a number of other nations, including Israel, India, and China, think that there is still a strategic role for cluster munitions. Gorman says the Lao people themselves do not dwell on the past.
They live very much in the present. It's a Buddhist culture. And a month ago, I was up in northern Laos, and I was speaking to an older gentleman who was about 65 years old. He was a former Buddhist monk in one of the most heavily bombed areas of Laos. And I said, what were you doing during the war? And he said, I was a monk, and I was living at my wat, which is at the Buddhist temple. And I said, did you experience any of the bombing? And he said, oh, yes, we were bombed everywhere, and our wat was bombed as well. And I said, well, how do you feel about the Americans today? And he said, that was a government. That wasn't the people. The people of America are good people. And I thought, my gosh, that's a generous spirit. I don't know how many of us could be that kind and forgiving.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News.